This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, folks. The Inflation Reduction Act provided for an extension of expanded Affordable Care Act subsidies. And basically what this meant was that a number of people, could be as many as 13 million, would see their premiums rise by more than 50%. And it seems as though the subsidies that are being provided in the Inflation Reduction Act will do away with that. And here to talk to us about it is Joel Griffith, Research Fellow on Financial Regulations for the Thomas A. Rowe Institute for Economic Policy Studies for the Heritage Foundation. Joel, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
So, Joel, if you could, for the listening audience, explain exactly what's going on here with this Inflation Reduction Act and the expansion of the Affordable Care Act subsidies that are being provided.
Yeah, well, this act, of course, does far more than just get further involved in the healthcare sector. But a big component of this is actually expanding the Obamacare subsidies that were set to expire. This would actually expand it. It would actually provide these subsidies to families of four earning up to $106,000. Of course, this is just another step along the way in trying to put us onto a socialized single payer healthcare system. When you're talking about these subsidies, you're talking about subsidizing people that are earning up to 400% of the poverty line. So the goal here isn't just to help those who are in need, so to speak. The goal is to put us further down this road to nationalized healthcare. And of course, in the process, think about those that are benefiting from this. This is going to cost $64 billion over the next several years, and this is going to go pretty much directly into the pockets of these insurers who are actually wanting more of the socialized medicine because it's padding their pockets.
So unlike everyone else that's facing increased premiums for health care, as medical inflation has been, what, double digits for the last 30 years, if my memory serves me correct? Would that be right?
The health care system is amongst the most inflationary of sectors, right alongside housing, of course, because of government subsidies, and education because of government subsidies. Healthcare is really part of that trifecta of sectors that have experienced long-term inflation rates far above the average of the rest of all goods and services.
So basically what this is a reflection of Obamacare, ACA, not doing what they had originally promised that it would do, and that we are taking more and more on to make sure that the participants don't ever have to face a financial increase.
Right. They're always passing these as temporary. We're going to do another temporary expansion. The goal here is to have these subsidies be permanent, and the very end goal is to have full nationalization. You know, the Congressional Budget Office, which is truly nonpartisan, it's a group of economists, and they estimate the cost of these packages. They actually have said that if we allow these subsidies to expire, not only will it save taxpayers the $64 billion, but it's not going to reduce the number of people with their own health care coverage. They will be able to obtain health care coverage on their own or through their private employers. And, Chris, that brings us to a biggest point. Remember, a bigger point, when Obamacare was passed, remember what it did to all of those affordable, catastrophic health care plans that you were able to buy as an individual, particularly as a small business owner? It made most of those plans illegal, because it put in so many requirements, the things you had to abide by as an insurance plan, it made it very difficult for regular folks to go ahead and just buy an insurance policy on their own. And we should not forget that.
So, and it just, you know, timing's everything. I understand a number of these folks were going to start receiving their notices of what the increases were going to be in their premiums, like maybe right before the midterms.
Well, that's right. Well, this current extension was basically a COVID-related provision that was supposed to expire at the end of 2022, this year. So how convenient that they timed the expiration to be right before a midterm election. Of course, now they're going to expand it for another 3 years. Well, it'll bring us up to another election. And there's no way we're able to pay for this, of course. They're trying to shake down small business owners, stick 87,000 federal tax agents on a lot of actually middle-income individuals. That's how they're going to try to pay for this plan, raising taxes and then shaking down families and businesses with almost a literal army of IRS agents.
So, you know, I keep looking at those that have private insurance, and they're paying the numbers that they're complaining about having to pay are still significantly less than what everybody else is having to pay. You know, and it's a lot of I don't understand how we're squaring this up at this point in time, and how we think that we're going to be able to stay current with medical inflation moving forward. It's $60 billion here, $60 billion there. Where does it end?
Well, we're not going to be able to, and it's going to end if they have their way with a manufactured healthcare crisis. So remember, it's government causing these problems. And if you look at another piece of this bill on the healthcare side, you've got these Medicare, you call them Medicare drug price negotiations, which are in effect going to be a backdoor way to set price caps on drugs. Well, I don't think most people are realizing how this is going to affect all of our long-term health, because this is going to be such a deterrent. Putting these price caps on medication now, well, that's going to be such a deterrent to research and development of blockbuster new medications that could increase both our quality of life and our length of life. Why would a company want to risk making an investment in a medication knowing that 9 times out of 10 or more sometimes these drugs fail to make it through the process? Why would they want to go ahead and risk that capital on a drug knowing that if it is successful, government might in effect just confiscate it and say, oh, we're either going to seize this intellectual property or we're going to put a cap on this to make it more difficult for you to actually recoup your investment and to fund the next one? Well, that's actually part of this new legislation as well. Price caps on drug prices.
And this is kind of more signaling, right? Because the reality is, from what I understand in the bill, the price controls go into effect in 2026 and they're limited to 10 drugs. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're limited for now, and they go into effect in the future. And I guess limiting it to a handful of medication is better than doing outright price control again across all of these. But it shows the direction that they're headed. There's still going to be an impact from this, even though it's limited. And I think the end goal here is to have far more expansive price controls, not just on the medication, but on services in general. And that'll put us even further and further down that road of what people experience in Western Europe. And you know, talk to somebody there who's trying to get the treatment. You're going to find that typically the treatment that we have in our country with private insurers, even despite all the government involvement, is still better than what they experience with full-on socialized health care. Unfortunately, this is just another extension of what Obamacare did and does put us further down that road to full-on nationalized health care.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is the answer, though, as we deal with prescription drugs? We offer tax credits to these companies for R&D. And, you know, I, for one, and I know a lot of other people are getting their drugs through Canadian pharmacies because it's just cheaper. It's a third of the cost of what it is here.
Yeah, well, we have a really kind of a Frankenstein of systems here where we're trying to hold on to, or at least some of us want to hold on to our privately provided insurance plans. And on the other side, we have government that is increasingly in charge of more and more of our healthcare, right? If you're in your 60s and 70s, typically that's going to be at least partially government provided. If you're VA, government provided. if you earn beneath a certain income level, government provided. So over time, government has become more and more involved in the funding of the services, and then, of course, on the regulatory side. So it's becoming more and more difficult for the system to operate as a free market because it's no longer truly free market. So the way out of this is to actually reduce government involvement. But unfortunately, through the years, it's been Democrats and Republicans that have been working to expand government involvement. It's really been a tug of war between not between free market and socialism, but it's been more of a tug of war between those who want to nationalize and those who are trying to slow down the pace of going down that road.
But when you look at like Medicare, Medicaid, you know, hospitals and physicians and alike, they have a real difficult time making money on that side, and everyone has to make it up on the commercial insurance side because they're just not willing to pay the freight. So they even double down even further in creating this Frankenstein model, as you refer to it.
No, you're right. Certain parts of the insurance field that are less regulated, they try to make up for the fact that they're taking a loss or less profits than the parts that's more regulated by the Fed. You know, we see this similar, to give an analogy, in the auto sector, where we have these mileage requirements, and you can't just fabricate this out of thin air. So you see some cars mainly purchased by those who are less well off that are not nearly as safe or not nearly as heavy, and that goes ahead, they get better gas mileage, and that makes up for the fact that you have these other bigger vehicles that are purchased usually by the wealthy that get less mileage. It all evens out, but it's the regular folks that pay. The similar situation that we see here in the health sector, where you have parts of it that are more regulated than others, and insurers are in some ways scrambling to make up the difference.
I can't imagine that there's going to be any possibility of retreating on any of this on the House side at all.
No, sadly, it appears that it will pass the House. I think, as your audience well knows, it passed the Senate 51-50, all 50 Democrats voting in favor, all 50 Republicans voting no, with Vice President Harris casting the tie-breaking vote. Well, in the House, the Democrats do have an outright majority, and from what we can tell, it is highly likely to pass the House in the coming days.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see where this all ends up. But I think it's safe to say that what was promised relative to Obamacare, now ACA, has not worked out very well.
It hasn't worked out well. No, you're exactly right. The premiums have gone up. Private insurance costs have gone up. Quality of care has gone down. And, of course, these senseless COVID shutdowns made it even worse on the healthcare front.
Yeah, it's a mess, and it doesn't seem like that we have enough adults in the room to get to the bottom of this to make it work either.
No, that's because there's a lot of money to be made for the special interest groups. They said if you look at these some of these insurance companies in the years since Obamacare has passed, they've actually done quite well, but that's because they've really been able to use the government to help them capture the marketplace, limit competition, and pad their pockets.
Yeah, there's no end to it for sure. Joel Griffith, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you, and have a good afternoon.
All right, that's Joel Griffith, Research Fellow on Financial Regulations for the Thomas A. Rowe Institute for Economic Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Little gems that we're finding in this Inflation Reduction Act.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.